Hello, this is Tamiko Faison, your host for Therapy Entrepreneurs and Leaders of Color, a podcast dedicated to showcasing therapy entrepreneurs and leaders of color around the world and supporting them in their roles. Today, our guest is Dr. Krista Reeves. Dr. Krista Reeves has been an occupational therapy assistant since 2013 when she began her career in travel therapy. After gaining a solid clinical foundation and advanced degrees in healthcare management and business, she transitioned into academia, where she has held roles as a founding OTA program director and professor. She has served the profession at the state and national levels as the OTA representative at large for POTA on the AOTA DEI Task Force and the AOTA COP, where she co-authored the Occupational Therapy Practice Framework, 4th edition, and the AOTA Guidelines for Supervision, Roles, and Responsibilities document. Krista has a passion for teaching and continually works on initiatives that strive for diversity and inclusion, women's advocacy, and creating opportunities for occupational therapy assistants to work in emergent areas of practice. In 2019, she founded the Sunny JCC Valerie Reeves Scholarship for Diversity in Occupational Therapy to support students in financial need. Krista wears many hats. In addition to being an OTA and professor, she is a business owner, OT Study Notes LLC, a realtor, and the mother of a teenage son named Julian. Krista comes from a large family with 5 younger sisters, 2 younger brothers, and too many nieces and nephews to list. She loves to sew, read, and watch guilty pleasure TV shows like 90 Day Fiancé, and she credits all of her success to the grace of God. Krista is the recipient of the 2019 OTA Award of Recognition by POTA, the 2021 Impact Award recipient from NBCOT, and the 2021 Alumni Career Community Award from her AOTA alma mater, Sunny JCC. Wow, 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 Krista. Congratulations on all your very well-deserved recent awards, and welcome to our show. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm just always so impressed when I read bios because it just amazes me at the amount of things that people are doing, our leaders of color are doing. So I'm super just excited about having you here, and I'm very pleased to know that you are being rewarded and recognized for all that you're doing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Can you tell us about yourself in your own words and how you became interested in occupational therapy?
Yeah, of course. So let's see. I think my bio kind of summed up a little bit about my family background. I come from a big family. I'm the oldest sibling. I have one child. So family, of course, is very important to me. And so that actually, being a mom, being a single mom is kind of one of the things that led me to my career. There's 2 things. So I actually started out looking into nursing, like, a lot of other people do when they know they want to get into healthcare. You start looking at things that you're familiar with. And what happened was I was meeting with the advisor and she started talking about, clinicals at 6 a.m. and stuff like that. And I was like, oh no, this is not going to work for me. If you know me at all, I'm not a morning person for one. But also I needed to find something that accommodated my occupation of being a single mom. So I knew that that wasn't feasible for me. So I found out that our community college had an OTA program and I looked into that, and it just seemed kind of perfect from the schedule to the types of areas of practice that I could work in. The teachers that I had were phenomenal. So it just turned out to be a really great fit overall for my personal needs and for the professional goals that I had for myself. So that was, when did I start? 2010 or 11, I started school. And now here I am. It's kind of crazy how much can happen.
And so when you went into the community college, were you just looking for other health-related professions?
Yeah, I was. So not a lot of people know this about me, but I didn't graduate from high school. I actually got a GED. I dropped out of school. So community college was kind of my only option at that point. But like I said, I knew I wanted to be in something healthcare related. And I'm just really grateful that OTA was and continues to be at the associate level so that it was an option for me and, you know, other people who are in similar circumstances.
Thank you for sharing that. No, I was not aware of that. And look at all, like, you're a doctor now.
Of education, right?
Yes. So I'm glad it was available to you and is available for others as well who might want to take that career path.
Yes. Yes.
So now go ahead.
I was just going to say the community college associate degree level is, it's really important. And I know that there are starting to become some bachelor's degree options, which I think is fantastic for people who want those. But I really hope that it does stay an option at the community college level for people.
I hope so as well. And I think advocacy, we just have to continue to advocate. I know several OTs who've taken that same path, and one just recently got her PhD, and another one is working on her PhD. And
they said, awesome.
If that path was not available to them, they don't think they would, you know, be where they are right now.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know where I'd be.
But you have soared since then. You just continue to grow in different ways and have several entrepreneurial and leadership roles within and outside of OT. So can you talk about some of those roles and how you got there?
Yeah. So I've always considered myself a bit of an advocate. You know, anybody who's gone to school with me or my past teachers who I still work with on projects to this day, they'll remember me being one of those people to speak up on things. But my first kind of structured role, I guess, or intentional role that I took on was with the Pennsylvania Occupational Therapy Association. And so that was an elected position on the board of directors as the OTA representative at large. And that was a really important role because I had a vote with that role. So not only did I get to be a part of the conversations, but I got to be a part of decision making. And, you know, I really got involved with some different advocacy in terms of like legislation. I remember when I had that role, the telehealth bill was up in Pennsylvania. And, you know, I really advocated for language that was clearly inclusive of the role of OTA. And so that enabled me to make some connections and, you know, just get involved with some different people. And it opened the door for me to serve in other capacities, like with AOTA right now. I'm on the Commission on Practice. And so the Commission on Practice really works to support the profession in terms of making sure that our official documents are up to date and in order, and we have all of the official documents that we do need as professionals to kind of back us up in the field, you know, and have evidence to support what we're saying and what we're doing. So those are a couple of things I'm involved with. I did work on the DEI task force for AOTA as well. That was a really wonderful opportunity. That was the first time actually that I got to work with so many diverse practitioners at one time. It was crazy to me. I actually remember kind of somebody had recommended that I you know, try to join the DEI task force. And I remember thinking, oh, you know, I don't know if I want to. I'm so sick and tired of being the only person of color on these committees and things. And, you know, the first Zoom session, we all have our cameras on and I'm like, oh, this is different.
Yeah, so that was exhausting. It can be exhausting. So
yes,
I can relate. But you're not just a leader. You're also an entrepreneur. I didn't know you had this business. Let's see, what's the name of it?
Oh, yeah.
OT Study Notes. Tell us about that business and how you started it.
Sure. So that is still a work in progress, mainly because I just finished up with my doctorate degree. So that's taken up so much of my time. But what I found as a teacher and as a student that was that there weren't a lot of affordable study resources out there for people. So I wanted to create something that was engaging and something where I could take my skills as an educator and just share them with other people. So Study Notes is primarily workbooks for students. They're digital downloads. Students can download them and type right in them. There's MBCOT style quiz questions within the notebook. And I've had the opportunity to collaborate with other OTs and OTAs to create the material. So it's kind of, you get the perspective of different OTs and OTAs nationwide. It's not something that I just created on my own. So I think that's kind of cool.
That is cool. And where do we get OT Study Notes?
Yeah, that's at otstudynotes.com. And like I said, I'm still working on those. So I think there's only one or two workbooks up right now. I did have a beta test group that reviewed some of the workbooks for me, some students a while back. I got some fantastic feedback from them. And I'm happy to share samples with people too who want to check them out and share some feedback with me.
Ooh, I'd love a sample. And we can include that in the notes here. And this is, you're absolutely a true serial entrepreneur, Krista, because you're going, I only have two workbooks. Oh. that's quite an accomplishment considering all the other things that you're, I mean, even if you weren't doing all the other things, it's an accomplishment to have two OT Study Note workbooks. Looking forward to taking a look at those. And so I think one time you posted something on social media where you were talking about the different things that you do. And I'm like, yeah, you don't have to put a comma. You don't have to put a period where God said put a comma.
That is true.
And so you're also a realtor, which we have this in common that I love real estate. I invest in real estate. A realtor, and I love looking at your posts, and I want some real estate in New York.
Come and get
affordable
it.
Affordable in that area. How did you like? Are you? Do you feel like you combine your OT skills with your skills and your role as a realtor? And
oh yeah,
how did you get absolutely into real estate?
Yeah, so real estate. I actually had gotten into it many years ago, back in like 2008. And at the time, the market was not great. So, you know, I went to school and, you know, went on to OTA and everything. But, you know, the market's been fantastic recently. So I came back around to it. And I really specialize in working with older people who are looking to downsize, find a home where they can age in place. And that's a transition for people. And it really does require the skills of an occupational therapy practitioner to help transition through that new milestone that people are moving through, where they're getting rid of the house that they've loved and lived in and raised their families in. And now they have to get rid of some things and they have to move to a new place where they're going to, you know, hopefully be able to spend the rest of their life. So that takes patience. It takes skill. And, you know, the other area where I find it works for me in is I worked with a young man not too long ago, about a month or so ago, to find a home. And I don't even know if I was really intentionally paying attention, but, you know, your OT skills never leave you. So I adapted the showings to meet his needs. He was a very particular person, liked to take his time and look at things. So, you know, just creating longer showing times for him and things like that, giving him lots of information and printouts on the homes. And when we finally found one, he took a moment and he thanked me and he told me that he was on the autism spectrum and that I was the first realtor that he worked with that actually gave him the time that he needed and all the tools that he needed to feel like he was making a good informed decision. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I love that story.
Yeah.
It's a great example of how OTs can use their skills in different spaces. Because
anywhere.
There's so many places that OTs can go in and be successful. Very skill set. Speaking of which, I do want to acknowledge that you're a mom. And many times I don't include this when I'm doing the interview, but you know, I might read it in the bio, but I don't really talk about it as much as we go through the interview. But that is that's a role that requires leadership, and you can use your OT skills with that as well. I'm a mom also, as many of you probably know. How old is your son, Krista?
He just turned 16, so we're driving now.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and it's snowing here.
I remember when. So he's got his license now, and he's driving.
Well, he's got his permit, so we're practicing.
Practicing, okay.
But you know what? It's funny you bring that up because, you know, last night I picked him up from basketball practice, and we had, we got quite a bit of snow last night. We got a few inches. And so the roads were not busy. It was kind of later, the first big snowfall. So people were at home, and I was like, you know, I want you to drive home. I want you to practice driving in this. And we only live about a mile from his school. But, you know, during the driving, like I'm paying attention to how his, you know, executive functioning skills are and his spatial relations skills and all that stuff. It is just so, it's so funny.
It is. It's like you can't really turn it off, right? They've been a issue in multiple ways.
Yes.
All right. So we kind of touched on this next question before when you were talking about being hesitant to join the DEI group because you've been in spaces professionally where you've been the only person of color. And we know that we are, you know, we still have a lot of work to do. We're making some progress, but we still have a lot of work to do in terms of increasing diversity in our profession. So how has that impacted you? And have there been any challenges that you've had to overcome being a person of color in the occupational therapy profession?
Yeah, I think the main thing is the lack of representation. Now, every group that I've worked with, of course, has been very welcoming and open and, you know, I haven't had any major conflicts working on teams or with groups of people or anything like that. But I think some of the challenges that come with being a person of color in this profession that stems from the lack of representation is the networking challenges with similar people. It's the lack of mentors who look like you in the profession. And then one of the other things that I came to realize more recently is when you're one of the only ones, and I feel like I get this at two points because I'm an OTA and then I'm also a person of color. So it's hard to get, you know, OTAs, there's a smaller percentage of us anyway. And then you add on top of that being a person of color, there's really not a lot of us. And so you get asked to do everything. They want you to be on all the committees and, you know, be a part of so many things. And it got to the point where I realized that, you know, I'm not doing the things that I want to do. Like, do I really want to be on the DEI representative on this committee? No, I want to be on the ethics commission, and I want to be, you know, I have all these other things that I want to do. So I think at some point, you know, it becomes a disservice to your personal professional goals. And you have to decide for yourself, okay, where am I going to draw the line so that I can work on the things that I want to work on? You know, it's so important to be a part of the conversation and to be present at the table so that you can represent yourself and other people like you. But the tricky part is, you know, at what point are you giving up too much of your time that could be spent on the things that you really have interest in?
I'm so glad that you said that, Krista, because I've heard this from other people of color as well. It's like, if you are a person of color, automatically you are the DEI expert when yes. You might have expertise in another area. Like you just said, I really want to work on ethics. And I know like my area of expertise is entrepreneurship. But we do want to have a seat at the table and share our lived experience because of the lack of diversity. So there's this dilemma, right? Where
exactly
you want that perspective shared, but at the same time, you don't want it to overshadow other areas of expertise because you're a person of color.
Exactly.
Automatically, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're stuck like, okay, well, if I don't do it, is anybody going to do it?
Right. Who's going to do it? You know, yeah. how how's this different perspective going to be brought to the table? And then on top of the perspective, the advocacy. Uh-huh. And it can be challenging. It can be challenging.
Oh, yeah.
And and then sometimes people look at you like, of course you're supposed to be doing it. Like, why wouldn't you do it? Why aren't you doing it?
Oh, yeah. When the when AOTA, so I was on the initial DEI task force, but then they put together the committee and the committee names came out and I got messages from people, why aren't you on the committee? Because I didn't apply to be on the committee.
Wow.
I'm tired.
Yeah. There's such a dilemma there. So what would be the solution for this if we don't have people?
We need people.
We need, back to what you said at the beginning, Krista, is like, we need more representation, because you really can't have true DEI, in my opinion, without representation.
Exactly.
So we need to do a better job of that. And in leadership roles. So that it's not just one person, from a particular group representing a particular group.
And then yes.
the thought that everybody thinks this way, this, represents this group. Because there's diversity within diversity, which is just a whole nother story. We could do a whole nother podcast.
Oh my gosh, I know.
And the assumptions around, one person supposedly representing everyone who has that identity. Mm-hmm. And so you've set some boundaries. So it sounds like you are still involved, but you've set some boundaries because there are other areas that you have expertise in and that you're passionate about and you don't want to lose that.
Right, exactly.
So what advice would you give to therapists of color seeking to go into either entrepreneurship or leadership roles?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, definitely do it. Just get started. I think that we've done a good job of building some communities, especially online right now. There's, on Facebook, the OT Practitioners and Students of Color group. There's some other groups out there. There's people like yourself who are making podcasts. So, it's becoming a little bit easier to find people. And I tell people, don't be afraid to reach out. I never mind getting an email with a question. I'm always, happy to help connect people, share resources. So I guess my advice would be just get started. Start, joining some of these groups that are out there. And don't be afraid to reach out to your peers and ask for resources, ask questions, ask for help. I think helping each other is the way that we're going to be able to make some improvements for ourselves.
I agree. And that's one of the things I'm loving about the online communities is that, like you said, you can connect more easily with people who look like you and have similar shared experiences. But also just that what I'm finding is in the communities are that they're not competitive communities. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That they are really supportive communities, because I've certainly been in communities where people are very threatened by the success of others. But I feel these communities that you're referencing, everyone is cheering for each other. We're all cheering for each other. We're supporting each other. We're celebrating each other. And it's nice to see that in our community.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So what is next for you? Are you going to take any, I'm going to say, are you going to take a break? But I don't think that, I think I know the answer to that. Because you're finishing up your doctorate degree, right? Or you've already finished your doctorate degree.
Yep. Yeah. I'm just waiting for a conferral, but I've done all my work. So that should be coming in the next week or so. But
yay, Dr. Reeves.
Yeah, I know. That's a big accomplishment for me.
Huge. It's huge. And you did this during a pandemic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, I've had a lot of great support, to get me where I'm at. But next, I would like to give you my plans. But every time I make plans, things go another way. So I'm really just, I'm just open to whatever God has in store for me. I hope to continue teaching. I left full-time teaching to finish up my degree and work on my business. But now that I've got some more free time, I'd like to get back into it full-time. That's definitely where my passion is. And I love recruitment, and I love freshmen. I love, supporting new practitioners in the field. So staying an educator is my primary goal. But other than that, I'm open to wherever life takes me.
That's a great way to be, because you are so right in that we can make these plans and we can have all these goals. And I'm definitely a goal-oriented person, but I hear what you're saying in that you can make your plans, but God might have a different plan for you. You know, another door might open up, and that might be where you need to be at for a particular
exactly.
season.
Exactly.
And so being open to the possibilities.
Yes.
Anything else you would like the audience to know, or any last pearls of wisdom?
I would like the audience to know that it's very important to support your OTA counterparts. One of the things that is up right now is the OTA reimbursement. And I think it's the SMART Act that you can find information on AOTA's website to kind of hopefully delay that 15% cut that's coming, so that we can have some time to figure out what to do and how we're going to support OTA practitioners in the field. It's a really scary time for especially OTAs who are out in, you know, skilled nursing facilities and things like that, where you're dealing with the Med B client. So we need support right now. And that's also where the biggest diversity pool is in the OTA level of practitioner. And then I guess my words of wisdom would be, and it's what I always tell my sisters too, when they're trying to make big decisions. I would say always make your decisions based on where you want to be and not based on where you're at right now. If you try to do that, you know, you'll come up with every reason why you can't do something. No, I can't go back to school right now. I've got to figure out childcare, or I've got to get my car fixed, or whatever it is. But think about where you want to be in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. And make the decisions that are going to help you get there.
That's great advice. That's like really taking the limits off of I can't because right now.
Yeah. Everything will fall into place. If it's meant to be, it will work out.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
I almost started singing Meant to Be, Meant to Be. Do you know that song?
I don't know if I do.
I'll spare y'all. I'm not a fan. But the SMART Act, you said it's called the SMART Act.
Yeah.
What do we need to do to advocate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one of the things, if you are an AOTA member, you can go to the website and go to the Take Action Center, and you can fill out, there's a form there for you to punch in your name and your address and all of that stuff, and you put in your zip code, and a formed letter will come up for you. So you don't have to even write your own letter or anything. You just kind of sign off on it, and it sends the letter to your local representative saying that you are in support of the SMART Act. It tells a little bit about it and why it's so important to occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants. And you just click the send button. It takes about 3 minutes and you're done.
Hey, we can do that.
That.
I encourage everyone to, if you're a member of AOTA, please, I'll put some information in the show notes so that you all can easily access it. If you're not a member of AOTA, join AOTA.
Oh, yes.
Please support your professional organizations. And I'm curious, Krista, is that cut, is it just Medicare or is it universal? I know a lot of insurances follow Medicare guidelines.
Exactly. And that's the thing. So right now it's for Medicare Part B.
Okay.
And that is set to go into effect January 1st, 2022. So that's coming up. But like you said, everyone else follows suit. So I would anticipate that 15%, if it goes into effect, would eventually go across the board.
I agree with that. And, you know, ironically, this is the time where we need reimbursement to go up.
Yes.
Because we're, you know, coming through a pandemic for the businesses that have survived. Many took a huge hit, and inflation. Through the roof right now. And so I was in another group where people were telling me they were calling their insurances and saying, my business will not survive unless you increase the reimbursement. So hopefully this will not take and they were getting increases immediately. And so hopefully it will not take effect and the reimbursement will either stay the same or go up. But in the event that it does, and other insurances start following, please know that you can also advocate for reimbursement with the, at least with the other insurances. I don't know how flexible Medicare and Medicaid are, but with commercial insurances, there is room for calling and asking for increases, even if the standard rate has went down. You
can. Very true. That's a great point.
Okay, Krista, well, I've thoroughly enjoyed. You calm me down. You have such a nice voice. And it's calmed me and relaxed me and inspired me. And I just I appreciate you. And it was just nice learning about all the other things that you're doing in a profession. And I'm looking forward to supporting you and however we can in your endeavors. Are there any other things that we can do to support you besides, you know, we're going to add the SMART Act link as well as the your business.
Yeah. I also have a small Facebook group of my own called Hot Topics, and the OT and H is capitalized. So you can follow, you can join that group and, you know, always stay up to date on things that are going on that I post about, like the SMART Act. So you can do that as well.
Excellent. We'll include all that, and we will be watching, supporting, and cheering you, Krista, as you continue to blaze trails in the occupational therapy profession. Thank you so much for your time with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And that's our show. Don't forget to follow us. Until next time.